Happy New Year, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he shares how faith should be your way of life and how to walk in the power of God's blessing even during difficult times. Now, here's Kenneth.
Galatians chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. We've read it many, many times. But we're going to be looking at it tonight from a little bit different viewpoint. And as it comes together and as the Lord reveals it to us and shows us insight and ideas and concepts of the kingdom of God that has been given us through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As these things function and as they work in us, praise God. I'll tell you, you're going to be so excited by the time we get through with this thing. Amen. I know. I already am. I preached it to me earlier. I got excited about it. I was like Jesse. I was ready to receive an offering from myself. Amen. Buy my own tape, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is really rich. You know, you and I are in the time of great revelation. Great revelation. These are the days of all things coming to pass. Everything God promised, it's coming to pass quickly. And it's a good thing to be right in the middle of it all. Praise the Lord. Our God's having a revival and we're in it. Amen. Anybody can be in it that wants to. Galatians 3, let's begin reading with the sixth verse. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Are you of faith? Yes. Have you do you live by faith, or you just talk about it? No, we live by faith, right? This is our way of life. Abraham believed God. We believe God. That's what faith is believing what God's already said and then acting on it as quickly as you would the word of a lawyer, a doctor, or a highly trusted friend, praise God. Act on it. It is the truth. Yes, thank you, Lord. I do need to say this before we get any further. This needs to be in the forefront of your and my thinking all the time. This is not a religious book. It has had religions made from it. Many of them. Many of them. God, well, let me say this. Christianity is not a religion. There's all kinds of Christianism. But Christianity is Almighty God and His family, both in heaven and in earth. And this book is an accounting of two blood covenants. The second one, or what we know as the New Covenant, was sworn by Almighty God in the living blood of Jesus. Amen. This is a blood covenant. It is a blood sworn oath. Amen. Amen. And you just need to remember that all the time. We have a covenant with God. This covenant is between God the Father and the resurrected, glorified, therefore immortal, Jesus, the Son of God. The covenant is between the Father and the Son. And you and I are partakers in the covenant in Jesus. You can't break this covenant. It's between God and Jesus. You can't break it. You can break your fellowship with it, but you can't break the covenant. It's unbreakable. It is forever, and it has no curse on it. Hallelujah. All glory now, I'm telling you. Now, hallelujah. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Now, let me stop here just for a moment. What is he, what's he talking about? We're talking about the Eden blessing. God created man, he planted a garden, he created a man and put him in it, and he blessed him, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, have dominion over it, and subdue it. The highest ranking authority ever released in the earth. Amen. The very power that God used to create all this. He put it on this man. It's called, in our language, in our English Bible, it's called the blessing. Well, we know what happened to it. Adam, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And the curse was released. Now, what was the first sin? Anybody know? Huh? No, I'm talking about in the Garden of Eden. What was the sin that stopped it? It was theft. He ate something that didn't belong to him. He picked that fruit out of season. He'd been told that it was God's. He'd been told not to eat it. He wasn't deceived. His wife was deceived, the scripture said, but he wasn't. He had his eyes wide open. He was standing right there with her, and he should have stopped it. But he didn't. That was his tithe. How do you think Cain and Abel found out about tithing? From their daddy. Well, what was the problem there? Well, of course, it was disobedience. But the sin was robbing God. Satan is a thief first. Jesus said he comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he had to take care of that tree just like he did every other garden, every other tree in that garden. And he could eat of every other tree in the garden except that one. That belonged to God. Now, that didn't mean he would never, ever have anything to do with it. He never lasted long enough to find out. He took what was God's through disobedience. He took what was God's. That was his tithe. He had to work that tree. He was supposed to gather the fruit off of it and bring it to God. It was in the center of the garden. Had he brought it to God, God would have taught him and trained him and fed him that fruit of knowledge. He would have partaken of it with God. It was God's. It was not something he could never have. His wife said, we're not supposed to touch it. But ain't nobody told her that. She got it on. She got it mixed up. Adam hadn't done his job there either. Amen. So, he fed off that. Now, what happened? It disconnected him from God and connected him to a fallen angel. And instead of faith, now he's got fear. Instead of life, now he's got death. Instead of the blessing, now it's a curse. And the curse on this planet came out of Adam. It had been the blessing. But now that gives you an idea of how powerful the blessing was and is. But now you know God well enough to know he don't ever quit. My man, he didn't just stop and say, well, I guess, you know, well, I guess I just lost the whole deal. No, he immediately started his plan to get that blessing back. Amen. Get it back. Get it back on man as if he'd never sinned. How do we know it's the Eden blessing? All right, hold your place there in the book of Galatians. We're coming right back to this, but you look up in the book of Isaiah. And look, in the 51st chapter, hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, to the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, unto Sarah that bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, or his seed. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is the Eden covenant. God covenanted with a man to get the blessing back.
Amen.
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 Now then, that's the basic fundamentals of it. Now let's go back over here to the book of Galatians. God blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, after the flood. The scripture said, and God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said exactly the same thing that he said to Adam. So now the blessing is back. Amen? Oh yeah. It's back now on Noah and his sons. Well, Ham and Japheth did the same thing that Adam did. But Shem stayed with it. He stayed with God. He stayed with the blessing of the Lord. Ham and Japheth settled in, and instead of following out that blessing, they settled in and started building cities and created a system that was designed for man to meet his own needs without God. It's called Babylon. The word Babel means confusion. And I don't have time to go into the background of all of that, but God spoke one word, Babel, and confused their ability to control their imagination. And they got to a place where they could no longer function. And out of that eventually came all of the different languages of the different tribes of the earth. Now, go back here, Galatians 3. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Who is the heathen? Ham and Japheth. You got to be kin to one of the three. You either kin to Shem, Ham, or Japheth, or all three, like me and Jesse. I mean, we kin to all of them somewhere or another. Amen. But you got to be kin to one of them. Well, Shem stayed with God. He stayed with the blessing. But God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. God is saying to him, I'm going to get Ham and Japheth back, and I'm going to do it through the line of Seth, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
So let's read on down and see if that's what that says. In you shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Blessed with what? That Eden power. That when released, I don't care what kind of environment it is, when faith activates it, that power, that blessing of Abraham, which goes all the way back to the garden. That blessing of Abraham was originally released to expand the Garden of Eden. We have the geographical boundaries of the Garden of Eden. It's approximately where Iraq is today. It wasn't the whole planet, but God planned for it to be the whole planet. But he didn't plan to do all the work. He created the garden, put the man in it, and gave him the blessing with which to expand that garden by faith, by the power of the blessing, until this planet was the garden spot of the universe. Amen. Now, and God tells you in His Word what His plan was from there. God planned to move here. He still does. He's still coming.
Amen.
Amen. That's fine with me. Now then, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now let's come down to the 13th verse. Christ, the Anointed One, has redeemed us. Say that word. Redeemed. Say it again. Redeemed. One more time, please. Redeemed. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on Ham and Japheth, the Gentile, all the rest of us, through Christ Jesus.
Success. Thrive. Grow. Increase. To prosper. Are you ready for a complete financial breakthrough? The key to being a part of God's financial system is to do your part. Step out in faith and receive what God has for you. It's our prayer that you experience true prosperity like never before, spirit, soul, and body. To accomplish this, we've created one of the most in-depth Bible-based resources Kenneth Copeland Ministries has ever made available on this subject. Introducing Lifeline's newest title, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough. Be prepared to fully engage with all the materials. Write in your workbook, speak the scriptures, pray the prayers, watch the videos, listen to the music, and take time to really absorb the teachings. Take a step of faith towards your financial breakthrough today. Order your copy of Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, now available for just $15. For faster processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455, or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. This new product is a lifeline practical tool for your everyday needs. Order yours today.
Tina Gordon and her mother, Martha Patterson, are from Sonora, California. We caught up with these partners during our meetings in Long Beach, and Martha shared the history of her relationship with KCM, which began over 25 years ago.
I was a divorced parent and had three children, and money was real tight. I stayed home as much as I could. When my kids were in school, I'd work. And when they were out of school, I tried really hard to stay home, but I just worked a part-time job in a restaurant.
Our life was, you know, not much money. Attending the Christian school, I had a tuition. My brother's, she paid for. But sometimes there wasn't enough money for lunch. I remember Mom saying, hey, I've got enough money for bologna or toilet paper. What's your priority? As we grew up, she started changing her words and saying, you know what, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory.
There were times when we didn't have food in one particular day, and somebody would bring something. Over and over, we had many miracles. I kept a journal for 6 years of the surprises that God brought to our family.
One time when I was in high school, getting out of high school, our car had broken down. And we had no transportation at all. And Mom says, you know what? We're going to sign a contract with the Lord, and I want you kids to all endorse it that we need a new car. And we're going to pray. And so we did. We all put our hands over this piece of paper and said, dear Lord, you know our need. You know that we need a vehicle to get around. And about a week later, I was coming off the school bus, and Mom pulled up in a car.
It changed my life when I started listening to Kenneth Copeland and coming to these conventions. I go home on a spiritual high for 6 months after. I'm serious. But it has been proven in my life to me that prosperity and healing,
amen,
you know, God wants to do those things for us.
Yes, he does.
You know, I've been healed instantly 3 times in my life and then others things. But honestly, it's just been wonderful. My kids were in a car accident that flipped upside down, slid down the highway. They weren't killed because before they got in the car that day, not because I'm tough, but because God honors his word. And I prayed the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Well, they were delivered.
Watching your word, believing God for your children, you were able to raise 3 children, send them to Christian schools, and raise them up now to all be independent, strong believers.
Thank God. My children are disciples taught of the Lord, obedient to God's will, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. I would say those things daily over my children, like they are the uncompromisingly righteous and shall flourish. That's what they're doing now, flourishing.
Let me tell you about a friend of mine.
Martha is very involved in her community and active in church, performing special music and personal ministry. Her children are now grown, and they have indeed prospered and flourished. Together, her sons have founded a construction company and a real estate firm, where Tina has established a successful career as an agent. Martha watches over the spiritual growth of her grandchildren and works alongside Tina, staging and decorating homes to sell. In their own lives and in business, every member of this family has an unshakable faith in God as their Savior and provider.
I'm in the real estate industry. It's sales. And so once again, there I have to rely on God for my sales and to see the escrows come through. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're in a down market right now, they say. But when people ask me how, you know, my business is doing, I say I'm blessed of God. My real estate business is doing fine. And we've got the favor of God on our lives. Therefore, we're able to give back to that Christian school, give back to our community. So that's what Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Copeland Ministries has done for us. We've blessed Mom with a house where she lives now. My brother's built it, and my aunt lives next door. So my mom and my aunt are taken care of for the rest of their lives.
My children gave me a 70th birthday party a couple of years ago, and they had a sit-down dinner, and they had, at the end of the thing, my son says, Mother, we want to honor you with one more gift. And they drove this pickup up to the door, and I was just totally amazed. Gave me a pickup. And you have to have a pickup where I live.
What does that mean to you, to be able, for you and your brothers, to be able to honor your mom like that?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, she's given her life for us. She's sacrificed year after year for us. You know, our dad's passed away, and he wasn't in the home. But Mom was always there for us, and she was it in our family. She was our mother, and we relied on our Heavenly Father to provide for us.
Well, I think prayer and the Word, staying in church on a regular basis, giving your tithe and offering. I'm blessed. And hearing Kenneth talk about the blessing, I've been living in that and didn't realize that was what it was called, the blessing. And so I'm grateful to God for his provision for our family. It's past telling. I always say he's a wild God.
What an outstanting
Didn't
testimony.
You like that?
Yeah, between Tina and Martha. That should really be a buildup for people that are in that position. I remember when we put all the money we had in the gas tank of the car, food, toilet paper, nothing else.
Which is another way to say we didn't have much money.
We didn't have any, and we put it all in the car, and the kids are hollering, Daddy, we hungry. When are we going to eat? Well, you don't say, well, we're serving Jesus, you know.
We just can't
afford food. We can't afford toilet paper. You can have the food in the toilet paper bowl.
Yes, bless amen.
God.
That's right.
But no, we said any minute now, God takes care of us. And on that particular trip that I'm thinking about, I think about this every time I hear that kind of a testimony. I saw money blow across a highway.
I remember.
And our money went to our tithe and to our offering, and the rest of it was fuel in the tank, and it wasn't quite full, but we did get there. We were going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And
to preach.
And we turned around and went back, and there was a $20 bill that had blown up against a cyclone fence. We peeled our 20 off and went to the big Sizzler restaurant with the big old Hereford Bull standing out there, and we had lunch, and when they gave us our change, we took our tithe and put it in this pocket and put what was left over here in this pocket and put some more gas in the tank and just went right
on.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes,
this is but the economy. Aren't you tired of that gripe?
Mm-hmm.
Just forget about it. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Now get your mind off all that and say, my Father knows I have need of these things, and He supplies all my needs and things that I need to enjoy and the goodness of God. Amen. I have a Bible, and I have a Lord Jesus Christ, and I am a person of faith. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I believe, I will. Thank you.
Amen. Tithers and sowers operate on a different economy.
It's a different economy altogether.
It's heaven's economy.
Absolutely.
Heaven is not in a depression or a recession or anything else. They're doing good.
And I heard the Lord say, hey, what are you all upset about? He said, compared to Pharaoh and Abimelech, these guys are amateurs. He said, this is no problem for me. Get your faith off all of that and get it over in God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I tell you now, some great things are happening, and you need to stay in contact with KCM, KCM.org, and all the meetings all this year that we're having, that the kids are having. It's a good time, and it's a good year. We'll see you next time. This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is
Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th, 2010 in Scottsdale, Arizona at the DoubleTree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org.